Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. And I said that one weird.
Your cadence was weird, but you got all the words out.
When I went to do the F sound in feminist, it was feminist.
Do you feel like maybe it's because we're too in our heads now about it?
I thought it would be the opposite, that it would just be so normal that I wouldn't have to think about it anymore.
Well, I think it's phases, right? Like, in the beginning, we were like, oh, we really have to think about it. And then it became second nature, and now I feel like
we're getting lazy about it, and we're thinking about it.
And because it's been pointed out to us that it sounds the same every time, like, I'm in my head when I say it now, and it's, like, weird.
Yeah.
Well, right off the top, we want to give a trigger warning before we even start this episode, which, I mean, if you clicked on it, you should know what this is. However, it's still important that we let you know that we are going to be talking about Jeffrey Epstein today. And when you talk about Jeffrey Epstein, you are also talking about child sex abuse, other forms of sexual abuse and exploitation, manipulation, suicide.
That's how we should start our show every
week.
Just us harmonizing in some way.
So we just want to say that right off top. This was a listener suggested episode.
This was a listener suggestion from a person named Nicole. So thank you, Nicole.
Yes, thank you, Nicole. She wrote to us saying that, you know, she was seeing a lot of the Epstein stuff in the news after his death and was a little bit confused about all of it, right? Because it can be a little bit confusing.
And it's a long story. It's been a long time coming.
It's long. Yeah. It's convoluted. A lot of it doesn't make sense. We don't know a lot of it. And then I think what she emphasized for her, as far as like what was the most confusing for her, is that you have people from both sides, on both the left and the right, going after each other, kind of. I mean, it's more coming from the right, to be honest, like really like pointing fingers at the Clintons. But then you have everyone pointing out the obvious, which we'll talk about, that Trump and Epstein were friends and hung out and all of that stuff. So you have all of that as well. And then it becomes really convoluted about like who did what we know. And to be honest, in my prep for this episode, my research for this episode, we don't know a whole lot.
Yeah.
Which is why it would be very helpful if he was still alive.
Yes.
But he is not. So.
He is not.
We
do know for sure.
We do.
He's still alive.
Bum, bum, bum. I mean, it could be. Could be.
So but I've got a little background on this fella. He was born on June 20th, 1953. He was actually a very talented piano player as a child. He started playing piano at the age of 5 and he loved music. He attended a few colleges in the 70s, but he never graduated from college.
Okay, so hold on. Before we get there.
Okay.
Because I do think we don't want to focus too much on him and his and his childhood and stuff like that.
But
however,
I think context is good.
Context is important. And so it should be said that he was born to a middle-class family in Brooklyn. And, you know, this came from a Vanity Fair profile that was done in 2003, which looking back, you're like, yeah. Because the title of it is The Talented Mr. Epstein. And I think
and
it was
like
because
2 years before his first big criminal case,
Yeah, 3 years, I think, before. But yeah, it was It makes you cringe now because he was looked at kind of as this, ooh, what a mysterious guy.
Exactly.
And part of that is because he did come from a middle-class family. His father worked for the Parks Department.
Yeah.
And he later went on to become this massive billionaire.
Exactly.
So his path is very, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
So he dabbled in college education, but like you said, he never obtained a degree.
Yeah.
From 69 to 71, he attended the Cooper Union School of Engineering, but he did not obtain any specific or participate in any specific degree program.
Yeah.
He did go on to teach math and physics.
He sure did.
At a Manhattan private school. Do you want to tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of anything about his teaching, but I do know that's where he met the executive officer of Bear Stearns, who then hired him.
An important thing to point out about the time when he was teaching at the Dalton School, which is that private school in Manhattan, is that the headmaster was Donald Barr. And Donald Barr is our current Attorney General, William Barr's father.
Yes.
William Barr is overseeing the investigation into Epstein.
That's what I was going to say. And he's mentioned later.
And he is refusing to recuse himself, even though there is this familial connection between Epstein and William Barr's father.
Yeah.
And also, it should be pointed out that, again, this man had no degree.
Yeah, how is he even, like, teaching?
This is a prestigious school in Manhattan. There's no reason why he should be teaching at this school.
Right. So do you think he maybe got, like, some special treatment from...
From Donald Barr is what it would feel like, which is all the more reason why William Barr should not be leading this this investigation.
Even if he wasn't personally involved, I think that it is a little fishy.
I think it's a conflict of interest, for sure. Yeah,
I agree. Well, okay, so... He worked with Bear Stearns until 1981.
And which was on Wall Street, right? It was like an investment bank.
Yeah, it's like a... He started at like a really low level like intern job and like quickly worked his way up and worked with like a lot of really wealthy clients. And that's where he kind of got a lot of the clients that he would work with later on in life. And but he was actually asked to leave for policy violations, which still remain unclear, which is kind of like,
There's so much about this man that I'm just like... There are certain people in life that you're like, how were you able to get through life with so much of this shit being under wraps? Because I'm like...
I know later in life he used his sex ring.
Well, he blackmailed them later. Yeah, for sure.
And also, they say, to gain acceptance. And I think that this guy, you know, they talk about how he would lure these women. And I think he was a very charismatic man.
I agree.
He was charming. Bullshit about and promise you things and things like that. So I think when you're talking about a man like that, even when you come from nothing, if you can lie enough and make yourself look good enough, you can kind of like make something of yourself.
Talk yourself up enough.
Right. Well, because after this, he started his own financial consulting firm. And he also claimed to be an intelligence agent, which is like, anyone who ever claims that to me is always kind of like...
What the fuck does that mean? Like, I need you to clarify that to me. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like
He's claiming that he knows shit, basically.
Yeah, you're just throwing words together.
I think it's like a threat of like, hey, look, I'm part of this community. I know stuff. And that did help him out later on in his first civil case.
So his company, which he launched in 1982, was called J. Epstein & Co., and it only serviced individuals and families with $1 billion or more to manage.
Yeah.
In New York, they said he could take control of the $1 billion, charge a flat fee, and assume power of attorney and do whatever he thought was necessary to advance his client's financial cause. There's only one client, so... Because he was like, I specialize in confidentiality.
Yeah.
I, you know, won't reveal the identities of my clients.
Right.
This is what he said.
Yeah.
It's very hard to find out who was a client of his.
Yeah, there's a few names here and there, but not many.
Actual confirmed client that we know of is Les Wexner, who is the founder of underwear maker L Brands, which includes Victoria's Secret and Bath & Body Works. Well, and it's the only, like, officially confirmed client that they were able to find.
I had heard that he worked with, I'm going to say this name wrong, I apologize, Adnan Khashoggi, who is a Saudi Arabian businessman who was the middleman in transferring American weapons from Israel to Iran.
I have heard that as well, but there's no, like...
It's not confirmed.
There's no confirmation.
I find
like,
it a very fascinating idea, though.
Oh, yeah.
That makes total sense.
That's what makes this so insane, is that he is tied to so many important, people, like, business people, like, around the world, like, these huge, huge names.
Yeah, which then brings him a lot of protection.
Yes. So in 1990, so 8 years after he starts his own company, he purchases his secluded compound in Palm Beach, Florida.
I thought it was 1998. Florida.
So in 1990, he purchases his place in Florida, where he is alleged to have sexually abused many of his victims.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like hidden. But after he purchased this compound in Florida, that's kind of when he starts getting involved with Mar-a-Lago and Trump.
Which is, yep.
Right.
Exactly.
So in 1992, and this is fucking gross, in 1992, he attended a party with Donald Trump and 28 women.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Those were the only people on the guest list. Yep. Was Trump and 28 young women who were flown in to provide the entertainment in the form of a private pageant. And there was a very famous... a private pageant.
Wait, just, can you imagine,
just like, those two disgusting men?
I was going to say, can you imagine, like a pageant, like, runway, and you're, like, walking down, and it's literally just Donald J. Trump.
Oh, my God.
And Jeffrey Epstein
at the end. I feel physically
ill. Just ogling after you, and you're just, like, in a swimsuit, like, I don't want to be here. But at the same time, you know, they promise these women, like, money and...
Right. They are taking advantage of the fact
gifts
that...
gifts and...
most people... they're offering more money than most people can fathom.
Although, we'll get into this later when we talk more about victim stories. His amounts of money that he would give some of these girls, I was like, really? No, comma? Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Yes. That's probably true.
Yeah.
but it was so suspicious. And by the way, I feel like people in kind of those like Gossip Girl circles, upper class Manhattan, Sex and the City circles, knew, really did kind of know like what he was up to.
Yeah.
Because there was a very famous party planner who was asked to put together this party. And he was like... he came out later, and I'm like, I don't know how this makes you look good. I mean, I guess it kind of does, because
he... did he, like, warn the women?
He didn't warn the women. He talked to Donald Trump and was like, this seems odd. I really can't have my name attached to anything that's, like, weird with Jeffrey.
Because, so, like I think, still do it, but don't use my name.
Well, because... and I think he did do it because Donald Trump was like, well, I wouldn't put my name on anything that I thought was underhanded.
Yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
worry
yeah.
about it. But... that just goes to show you that people had suspicions. They knew that this was weird. It's kind of like when we talk about Weinstein. It's like, people knew this wasn't normal.
Yeah.
Like, they knew,
and they knew
it was,
this guy had something up.
Yeah, that something really fucking weird was going on.
Yeah.
And yet still, for whatever reason, because the power structures in place were as they were, or like whatever, allowed it to occur.
Yeah.
So yeah. But that one grosses me out like so fucking hard.
Oh yeah. I mean, this whole episode is one gross incident after another.
In 1996, he relocated his company to the Virgin Islands, which
sure
was
did.
Very suspicious. So Epstein also renamed his company from J. Epstein & Co. to Financial Trust Co. and relocated it to the Virgin Islands.
So he took his name off of it.
Right, and said that he did so for tax purposes.
What would that tax purpose be?
I don't know, and you know what? It probably isn't a lie. It probably is partially for tax purposes so that he could hide or conceal whatever was happening with this money.
Because his name isn't on the front of the company.
Right.
That makes sense.
In the late 90s, he moved into a Manhattan mansion. So how he acquired this mansion, which was at 9 East 71st Street, it's considered Manhattan's largest mansion. And people don't know how he managed to get his hands on it.
Well, I mean, his clients.
Again.
So
yes.
He had to have been embezzling, right?
Or blackmailing.
Yes, true.
Or sex trafficking.
Both.
Or all of it. You know what I mean? Because he... it was said later, like some of the girls who came forward later, they alleged that he would make them tell him things.
Oh, there were people that kept like journals for him
about
too,
what records. The about what the clients did, so that I think that he could use them for blackmail purposes.
Totally.
So I think he made a lot of money that way. But the New York Times reported that Epstein declared it to be his property in a 1996 interview, and according to Bloomberg, which cited one anonymous source familiar with the matter, Wexner, who is that Les Wexner, who owns Victoria's Secret, he sold the home in 1998 to a company affiliated with Epstein. Public records show the title transfer was made in was not made until 2011 for no money. So he was given this property. This title transfer happened without him paying for it. Why? Why would you get a mansion in Manhattan without having to pay for it?
The largest mansion in Manhattan. Well, because look who
from your client. From your client.
But that guy.
Right.
Comes up again and again throughout the years.
Right. I mean, and, like, your client wouldn't just fucking be giving you this.
No.
Like, why would it happen? Like,
no.
You have to have something on him. There has to, or it's an exchange of for something.
Totally.
For sure.
I think it could be both in this case. I really do.
And several of Epstein's accusers say that the mansion is where he sexually assaulted them. So, I mean, any
he
of his...
He was sexually assaulting
any of his properties. Every one of his properties.
Which is why his civil cases are all the fuck over the place.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right now he's got his mansion in Manhattan. He's got his home in Florida. And then this is what you were saying earlier. In 1998, he purchases Little St. James Island in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. The Associated Press described how people who lived in the area surrounding Epstein's private oasis started calling it Pedophile Island.
Or Orgy Island.
When molestations against him were first made public.
Yeah, this is a 72-acre private island on the Virgin Islands. And then he actually went on to, years later, he purchased Great St. James in 2016. And he intended on building this compound on Great St. James, but they were like, no, it was denied. That didn't happen. A former employee said that he had two offices, which no one was allowed to enter except the maid, where he kept security boxes. A former IT contractor who worked for Epstein from 1999 to 2005 says there were photos of topless women everywhere. And the most mysterious and interesting part to me that, like, makes me put my tinfoil hat on is this blue and white striped temple.
Oh, yes. The creepy temple.
This is really interesting. A lot of people believe this is where a lot of abuse happened as well. So it had this, like, wooden door, but it had a reinforcing lock on the outside, which would keep people locked in, not locked out.
Creepy.
It's super so creepy. And they're saying that the way it's built, that there's enough space below it to have even, like, an elevator and an underground space. And the contractor says it's a gym.
Okay.
There are no windows. There is a reinforcing lock on the outside. And it looks like a temple. Really? Really.
Is that what he told you whenever you were building it? Probably. As a contractor, that it was going to be a gym?
My imagination is that maybe it's a gym on top. This is total speculation. Gym on top, fucking elevator, all the way down, Breaking Bad style, all the other shit happening underneath. I don't know. I think that's very much.
And I believe that this is where the sex trafficking allegations come in, because this was his main place of residence at this time.
Right. Well, and this is the other thing. So he would fly these underage girls to the island of St. Thomas.
Which is what would constitute sex trafficking. He's bringing them in from another country.
Yes, to St. Thomas. And then they would come to his island on a ferry called Lady Ghislaine. And we'll talk about this guy a lot.
Girl. Yes.
Really?
Ghislaine, I don't know how you pronounce her name, Maxwell. She's a socialite. Yes. And she was used to, bring girls in because they trusted her, because she's a woman.
For some reason, I thought I was writing down a men's name.
No, Ghislaine Maxwell is a girl, a woman, rather.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
My mind is blown right now.
A New York socialite, and she was used
to... I knew it was a New York socialite, but I thought it was a man.
Yeah, she was used to groom these girls.
Yeah.
And she's still around. Like, people have been... Since Jeffrey Epstein died...
Oh, yeah.
People have been kind of hounding her because a lot of the most recent allegations actually call her out by name.
Oh,
in fact,
yeah, a lot of the cases do.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of the cases, but the one involving Prince Andrew, she's in the fucking picture.
Yeah.
Like, with the person who's alleging she was abused. So
one of his victims say that once they would get to the island, they would, like, take your passports. So you couldn't just leave.
Seems legit.
One tried to swim off the island to escape and was caught by Epstein and Dershowitz, which we'll talk about later.
So fucking disgusting.
Yeah, and it's crazy. There's more on it that will, I think, a lot of these people, you'll start to get to know these women's names, whether they're Jane Doe's or they decide to use their names. So the more we talk about it, the more I'll discuss things I've heard about happenings on that island and things like that.
So around a year later in 1999, this is when, okay, so Virginia Roberts, who's who I was just talking about, she's the one who...
Now Virginia Roberts Giefer.
You can see her in a picture with Prince Andrew, and Ghislaine is in the photo as well. Ghislaine. Mm-hmm. Don't know how you say her name. I'm going to call her Ghislaine. Okay. She's in the photo as well. In 2015, she said in a sworn affidavit that Ghislaine Maxwell initially approached her while she was working at Mar-a-Lago and offered to provide her with massage training.
Yep.
She was brought to Epstein's Palm Beach mansion, where she said Epstein abused her beginning in 1999 when she was 15 years old. And this... So this happened just a year later. So he was bouncing kind of back and forth between the Virgin Islands and Florida at this time. She said the abuse continued for several years, during which she says she was passed around to other famous men.
Yeah.
So there is somewhere there's a list of fucking famous men, and oh, yeah. I want all of them fucking outed.
Yes. That would be, can you, hearing that news, saying that it was, like, unsealed and it's, like, to the public or whatever, reading that, I can just imagine being like,
yeah, burn them all down. The whole, I don't care who it
the
is.
The whole list. I'd be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
There is no one too sacred for me to feel like these Never. People shouldn't fucking burn. All like, of all of them. In 2002, Jennifer Arouse? I don't know how you say her name. How do you say it?
It's almost like it's Arouse.
Arouse? Okay.
I looked it up. It's like a Portuguese Spanish name. Okay. So it's actually the R is kind of more of a D. So it's like Eros.
Eros? Oh, okay. So it's A-R-A-O-Z.
Yeah.
So she came out in July of 2019 and she did an interview on the Today Show where she said she was approached at the age of 14 by a young woman outside of her high school, who we can assume is also Ghislaine Maxwell,
yeah,
in 2001, and she was brought to Epstein's townhouse in Manhattan, and there he abused her and paid her money over the following year, culminating in forcible rape.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the same year when Donald Trump called him terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Donald Trump said of Jeffrey Epstein in 2002, so around the same time this was happening,
yeah,
and he was abusing these girls, he said, I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. Yeah. He's a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. In 2002 and 2003, former President Bill Clinton took four trips in Epstein's private jet to Europe, Asia, and Africa, according to a statement from Clinton. So he acknowledges that he did ride in this jet.
But he also says, well, Epstein and Clinton say that he never went to the island.
Yes.
But there are girls that say that he saw him there women.
Yeah. And so, you know, okay, but it's also like this man is a known sex offender.
Yeah.
What were you doing with him?
Yeah.
Just hanging out? This is just your buddy?
No.
Because it doesn't seem like you guys hung out that much outside of this. So, like, what were you doing? Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, kudos to you if you never fucking went to the island, but like, what does that mean to me?
It means nothing because this was happening everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere. If Jeffrey Epstein was around,
There were young girls. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
it was everywhere. He was obsessed with sex. He was obsessed with sex with young girls.
And in fact, I heard that they called his plane the Lolita Express.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay.
Just being in the plane.
Good for you that you weren't on Pedophile Island, but you were in Lolita Express. So, like, what do you want me to say about that, Bill? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Bill.
What the fuck?
Oy vey.
In 2005.
Yep.
A teenager said that she was 14 years old and she was taken by a peer to Epstein's Palm Beach mansion. So we're fucking all over the place. It's in everywhere he is.
I actually have that her stepmother had called the police after this happened and said that's what I read. That like
she called
the police
off.
And said that her 14-year-old stepdaughter had been taken to Epstein's mansion by an older girl. She was allegedly paid $300 to strip and massage Epstein. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, 300,
but at
really?
But you know, that's probably part of the appeal of taking advantage of young teenagers is that $300 at 14 years old sounds like a lot of money.
It does. Well, and I think he knows that as well. And it said that she left the encounter wearing only her underwear, which is just like
so sad.
Oh, it is a really, really heartbreaking and humiliating image in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awful. It's truly awful. It's truly sad. There was an ensuing police investigation.
Yeah, it lasted for like 13 months. There was a search of his home. The FBI got involved. That's when they were first alleging that Epstein had paid several girls to perform sexual acts with him. 5 victims were interviewed along with 17 witnesses, all under oath, and it was revealed through items in his home that many of the girls were underage. So this is kind of when a lot of this stuff is like officially being investigated and confirmed that this stuff is happening. The International Business Times reported that papers filed in 2006 lawsuit alleged that Epstein installed concealed cameras throughout his property to record sexual activity with underage girls by prominent people for criminal purposes. And that was when it was discovered that he would, like, lend these girls to powerful people to gain acceptance and blackmail.
Yes. And, you know, the way that the state was kind of handling these cases was very, it seemed like they were almost, like, kowtowing to him. They were not, they were kind of, like, puttering around, not really doing kind of like the bare minimum of what they needed to do.
Right.
So under pressure from Palm Beach police, who were unhappy with the state's handling of the case, mm-hmm. they brought in the FBI, and the FBI launched its own investigation in July of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2007, so the investigation's been going on for some time, as the U.S. Attorney's Office prepared a 53-page indictment in June, the Miami Herald, that's something that the Miami Herald reported, Epstein's attorneys began speaking about a potential plea deal for their client. In October, Jim Acosta, I think his name is Jim Acosta?
I think so.
Yes. He was the U.S. attorney in Miami at the time. And one of Epstein's attorneys, they agreed to make a deal in which Epstein would plead guilty to two felony prostitution charges.
Yeah.
The victims were not notified that this was happening.
Can I talk about this deal
Absolutely.
A little bit? So
please,
this is called a non-prosecution agreement or an NPA. And basically what that does is it requires an individual to agree to pay a fine and waive the statute of limitations and cooperate with the government. That's what it is. As a whole. So in July of 2006, the FBI began Operation Leap Year, which is what we were talking about. And like you said, this resulted in a 53-page indictment in June 2007, but was never presented to a grand jury. Nope, it wasn't Jim. Alexander Acosta.
Sorry.
There you go.
The then Who is Jim Acosta? I feel like that's somebody, but...
It might be. He was the U.S. Attorney General at the time in the South District of Florida. He agreed to a plea deal to grant immunity from all federal criminal charges to Epstein, along with four of his co-conspirators. And the agreement effectively shut down the FBI investigation. So everything that was going great with the FBI investigation was then taken away. Acosta later said that he agreed to such a lenient deal because he was told that Epstein belonged to intelligence, which is what I mentioned earlier, and was told to leave it alone. They were like, you don't want to mess
Bullshit.
With this. Yeah, again.
No one fucking believes you.
No.
Like, honestly, like...
He's covering his own ass for that.
And he continues to do that. Like, that's the thing. It's like, he keeps trying to blame the local authorities. Like, up until now, he has continued to try and blame the local authorities, with the local authorities firing back and saying, when has... state level, like, local authorities ever been over federal authorities? Like, they could have done more.
They definitely
chose not to.
They definitely did. So this was when, like you said, he had two felony prostitution charges, and he had to register as a sex offender and pay restitution for 36 victims identified by the FBI. So the federal judge thought that the prosecution had violated the victims' rights in that they had concealed the agreements from the victims, which is what you were saying. They did not say to the victims that this was, that he was going to make this plea, that they had this agreement. And while he was, like, you know, he paid a lot of them, that's pretty much how he got out of a lot of these cases, is it was handled outside of court through, I would assume, payment of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
He did, however, go to prison.
And so, yeah, so he appeared in court on June 30th, 2008. Again, none of his accusers were present, and he was required to register as a sex offender and report to jail. However, he had a very, very cushy kind of agreement with them.
They sure did. While most sex offenders are sent to a state prison, Epstein was housed in a private wing of Palm Beach County Stockade, which doesn't just kind of sound like a nice, like, cozy resort or something.
Well, and the more you hear about, like, GQ actually wrote a really good article about his time in jail.
Yeah.
And it was... extremely upsetting.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Well, here it is. After 3.5 months, he would be allowed this work release where up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, he was allowed to come and go from prison at these specific hours. This actually violated the sheriff's policies requiring maximum sentence of 10 months and making sex offenders eligible for privilege. So this was after 3 months. And to have any sort of privileges, it's supposed to be after 10, and sex offenders are not supposed to be getting these certain privileges.
Yeah, okay. All right. And I mean, it's even worse than that. So his jail cell was left unlocked, and he was given, quote, liberal access to an attorney room where a TV was installed per the orders of Captain Mark Chamberlain at the local sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
According to records of Epstein's stay released by the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, his reason... So this is Captain Mark Chamberlain's reason
for
why,
the TV.
Or why it was so easy on him in all respects, was that Epstein was too rich and too unaccustomed to being in jail to be treated like a normal prisoner. He said, his financial status lends itself to his being victimized while in custody, and such, he has been placed in special management. He is poorly versed in jail routine. Which one of us is well-versed in jail routine?
None of us. And, but you can assume what he means by that.
And society and his adjustment to incarceration will most likely be atypical.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah. Anyone who... It's atypical for most people. Yes. It's an atypical situation.
Yeah. Well, and this was interesting, too. So he dissolved... Epstein dissolved this nonprofit before he went into jail. And he paid the sheriff's office $128,000 to pay for the cost of his extra services provided to him during his, quote-unquote, work release.
Yeah, so they paid him off.
Basically. And he would actually have, like, office workers that that were, like, permit deputies in jail, and people who came in to visit would have to, like, check in with these permit deputies at this front desk. The logs were later destroyed because of the records retention rules, and he was also allowed to use his own driver to and from prison.
Right. I mean, and the longer he stayed, the cushier things got. This mm-hmm. is according to the Miami Herald. His six-a-day work release was extended to 7 days. Yeah. His hours outside of his cell were extended from 12 hours a day to 16 hours a day. God. He was barely in jail.
Yeah.
And he was permitted to pass some of the time at home.
Yeah.
And at
just pass some of the time at home. It's fine.
Well, I mean, so he was at home. Basically, he was at home 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for yeah. much of his stay in prison.
He was
barely there.
He was sleeping.
Yeah, he
there.
Was going
That's
there to
it.
Sleep. And records show that they eventually stopped even referring to him as an inmate and started yeah. referring to him as a client.
Yeah.
That's how it was for him. And this is something to turn your stomach if you're fucking ready for it. He's a sex offender. Mm-hmm. He's already being allowed outside of his jail cell for yeah. vast hours yeah. throughout the week. In addition to that, he bought 2 pairs of women's size 5 underwear, which the Miami Herald describes as so small they wouldn't fit an average-sized adult woman while he was in jail. While he was in jail, he yeah. bought teeny tiny girls' underwear, essentially.
Yeah,
for what
thinking,
purpose?
If you're thinking of size 5 and you're talking about kids' clothing, usually size is accordance to age.
Right, because
that's fucked
most
up.
women's underwear, like when yeah. I buy underwear, it doesn't come in 2-4, you know.
It's an extra small, it comes small, in, medium,
right.
and large.
So,
but if you're buying kids' clothes, like if you're buying a shirt for a 6-year-old, usually you would get a size 6.
Right, because when it said women's size 5, I'm like, okay, that sounds like a woman's underwear.
It should
but
not
if
be
they're
called
saying,
a women's size 5.
If they're saying yeah. it's smaller than the average woman, and it's being called a size 5, it sounds like child's underwear to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's a 5. It's a 5-year-old's size.
I mean,
that's
and
disgusting.
So that should, you should really be able to take into account, I mean, all of that should give you an idea of how seriously this was being taken. And Alexander Acosta has come forward recently because he just stepped down as the labor secretary. He was Trump's labor secretary until, like, a couple of weeks ago.
Of course he was.
He just stepped down, and when he stepped down, he said, we did this for the victims. We got him arrested. I believed he belonged in jail. I believed he needed to be...
But he was barely in jail.
And I believed he needed to be on the sex offenders registry so people knew who he was. And we did it for the victims. And
yeah.
I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, like, he was put on, like, a level 3, which is the highest of, like, the sex offenders list or whatever, and they fought for him to be a level 1, and he wasn't. But he didn't abide by any of the rules you're supposed to have with that level. And nobody ever enforced it.
No one ever enforced it. So he was told to register as a sex offender in 2011, but it was later revealed that he never once checked in with the New York...
No, it's supposed to be like every 90 days or whatever.
...police department in the 8 years since. He was told to do so every 90 days in order to verify his address, and he never checked in.
And which is a felony also for the NYPD for not enforcing that as well. It's bad news.
Yeah, it's insane.
So Epstein served 13 months before being released for a year of probation and house arrest. During this time, he was allowed trips on his jet to his home in Manhattan and the Virgin Islands, and he was allowed to go on shopping trips in Palm Beach for exercise.
You need to go shopping for exercise?
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Everyone else gets cut in prison using, I don't know, the fucking prison gym. You
yeah.
could have done that.
Yep. Well, this is when he's on house arrest.
Ugh. Okay, you probably have a gym in your fucking house. You're
exactly.
a billionaire.
Oh,
I don't
no, it's
hear
bullshit.
It.
It's bullshit. So, obviously, this immunity agreement and this lenient treatment did not go over well with the public. On June 18th, 2010, Epstein's house manager, Alfredo Rodriguez, was sentenced to 18 months after being convicted on an obstruction charge for failing to turn over and trying to sell one of the journals he kept, which recorded Epstein's activities. The FBI found that the info in the journal would have been extremely helpful for the investigation and in prosecuting the case, and the journal included names and contact info of important witnesses and additional victims.
Release the journals.
Right?
I want to see them journals.
Yes, I want to see the journals, Alfredo.
I want to see them names, Alfredo.
Yeah.
You want to give an interview? Because we're interested.
We are very interested. He wouldn't still be in jail, right?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I bet you he could make a deal.
Yeah, listen, for real information.
If you get everybody else to go down.
Okay, so I'm going to start kind of going through the list of the different civil cases that were going on, and we're going to start in 2008 and go from there. So in February 2008, an anonymous Virginia woman, which I'm assuming they're talking about Virginia, Virginia Roberts Giefer, filed a $50 million lawsuit in federal court against Epstein. Epstein allegedly recruited this Jane Doe when she was 16 to give him a massage. And the massage thing is in every story. There was actually
such a Weinstein move.
There was actually a quote that I'm going to find right now from a woman in the Miami Herald, Julie Brown. She did an expose in the Miami Herald where she identified 80 victims and located about 60 of them. She says to the police chief, Michael Rader, this is 50 something she's and one he, and the she's all basically told the same story. So a lot of this is going to be very repetitive because he used a lot of the same tactics.
I think it's, I hate to keep saying it and like comparing him to Weinstein, but I actually think that it's really telling of what a sexual predator's mind is like, because I do think that they get a routine down of like something that works for them and they do it over and over
If it ain't broke, why fix it? Yeah. Right. She says that Epstein took her to his mansion, exposed himself, and had sexual intercourse with her. He then paid her $200 immediately following. A similar $50 million lawsuit was filed a month later by another Jane Doe, represented by the same lawyer as the first Jane Doe. The lawsuits were dismissed, along with several others. They were all settled with Epstein outside of court. So this lawsuit happened in December 2014. It was a federal lawsuit, which was filed by Jane Doe 1 in Florida and Jane Doe 2 against the United States for violations of the Crime Victims Act by the U.S. Department of Justice's MPA with Epstein in 2008. So that's what we were talking about. The MPA is the non-prosecution agreement. And like I said earlier, they were not too pleased with that. There was later a non-successful effort to add Virginia Roberts, who is known as Jane Doe 3 in this case, and Jane Doe 4 as plaintiffs to this case. Jane Doe 3 also accused Alan Dershowitz of sexually abusing her as a minor, provided by Epstein. The allegations against Dershowitz were stricken by the judge and eliminated from the case because the judge said that there was outside intent to reopen the plea agreement. And this was when a document in court surfaced alleging that Epstein ran a sexual abuse ring. It would lend underage girls to prominent American politicians, powerful business executives, foreign presidents, a well-known prime minister, and other world leaders.
And that is really what has kind of sparked a lot of these conspiracy theories surrounding his death. Because those are the powerful people he could have outed in his upcoming trial.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the lawsuit aimed at vacating the federal plea agreement on the grounds that it violated the victim's rights. So they were basically saying, like, you know, the very cushy prison sentence you gave him is not enough. We don't feel represented as victims. We were not treated properly.
We were not consulted during any of that. Yeah.
On April 7th, 2015, Judge Kenneth Mara ruled the allegations made by the victims Virginia Roberts against Prince Andrew had no bearing on the lawsuit by the victims seeking to reopen Epstein's non-prosecution plea agreement with the federal government. The allegations were then struck from the records. He did, however, say that Roberts would later get the chance to give evidence against Prince Andrew when her case comes to court. So in 2019, this judge, Kenneth Mara, finally said that the federal prosecutors violated the law by failing to notify the victims before they were allowed for him to be pled guilty by those two Florida offenses. That's 2019. And this happened way back in, 2007?
Right.
When he was originally put in prison. So now we've got a couple more. The next ones are all Virginia Roberts Giefer. So her name when she was young was Virginia Roberts. She has since married. In January 2015, a 31-year-old Virginia Roberts, now Giefer, alleged in a sworn affidavit, at the age 17, she had been held as a sex slave by Jeffrey Epstein from 1999 to 2002.
She's only fucking 31.
Isn't that crazy? If you see pictures of her, too, she looks really young.
That's insane. I mean, it's only a couple years older than me. Like, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. She was required to recruit other underage girls, so he was also kind of trying to get her, like, on his good side to bring other underage girls in. She stated that Epstein and the British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell had trafficked her to several people, including Prince Andrew and Alan Dershowitz. And like you said, there is a picture of her with Prince Andrew and Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine. I don't know how you say her name.
She alleges that these men physically and sexually abused her and that the FBI may have been involved in the cover-up. When Giefer's diary was published online, Epstein and Dershowitz both took legal action against her, and Epstein settled with her out of court. As of 2016, these accusations have never been tested in court. She also went on to have a suit against Ghislaine Maxwell. She sued Maxwell for defamation in September 2015. After a lot of legal confrontation, the case settled under seal in May 2017. The media and Alan Dershowitz, for some reason, I don't know why Alan Dershowitz, who is one of the accused, wanted these documents to be unsealed. The judge dismissed this request. But in 2019, the Second Circuit Court asked for the parties to provide reasons as to why the documents should remain under seal, without which the documents would be unsealed the following week, which they were. They weren't able to give a legitimate reason why they should remain sealed. I would assume that it was privacy reasons at the time.
So there was all this stuff kind of like bubbling under the surface from the time that Epstein was told to register as a sex offender in 2011 to present day, right? Mm-hmm. Like there was all this stuff bubbling underneath the surface. But what really kicked off our most recent kind of like Jeffrey Epstein got the ball rolling on all of the most recent stuff to do with him was in 2018, the Miami Herald published an expose, and we've referenced that expose many times in talking today. Both of us have. So, because it was the thing that kind of broke everything open. So, the Miami Herald publishes an expose on Jeffrey Epstein's history of alleged sexual abuse in 2018. And it's kind of the thing that made the public, like, stand up and pay attention to this thing that was kind of an open secret for a very long time. Yeah. And a lot of sources that I read really credited not only this expose, but when this expose came out, because it was post-Me Too, it was post-Time's Up, and people were fucking not having it. Whereas, like, it was something that maybe you could have gotten away with in the early to mid-2000s.
Yeah.
By the late 2010s, 2010s, it was, like, not a thing that you could do anymore.
Yeah.
So they released an in-depth series in November of 2018, and it sparked renewed outrage over essentially not just his crimes, but also his massive privilege. Like, it put a spotlight and a magnifying glass on the fact that, like, not only has he done these things,
he's gotten
away with everything because he has so much fucking money, which also from where? Like, why does he have
so much money?
There's
such a big question mark around that.
Yes, he's not, like, a person who was born into money and privilege. Yeah. He has somehow managed to make it, and nobody knows how.
Yeah.
You know, and so it put it under, like, intense public scrutiny, and that is why, you know, several months later, so that was in November of 2018, by July of 2019, he was arrested and indicted for sex trafficking underage girls.
Yep. So, in Giefer's testimony, she claims that she was directed by Maxwell to give erotic massages to engage in sexual activities with Prince Andrew, Jean-Luc Brunel, Glenn Dubin, Marvin Minsky, Governor Bill Richardson, another unnamed prince, an unnamed hotel chain from France, which I think she was saying maybe had something to do with covering everything up, along with others that she couldn't name. She's quoted saying, "My whole life revolved around pleasing these men and keeping Ghislaine and Jeffrey happy. Their whole life revolved around sex." So the one that we know very well that was come under fire during the election was this Jane Doe versus Epstein and Trump. In California in 2016, a federal lawsuit was filed against Epstein and Donald Trump. The woman states that the two men sexually assaulted her at a series of parties located at Epstein's Manhattan mansion in 1994 when she was only 13 years old.
Right. I mean, and this was during, I do remember this coming out during the election. Like, America, fucking take a look at yourselves, because a man who was accused of sexual assault by a person who was 13 at the time of her assault was elected president shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And with all of the, like, with everything that's come out about Jeffrey Epstein since, I mean, I think that that should all offer a pretty solid credibility to what this woman was saying happened to her and the fact that Donald Trump was involved in it.
Exactly. Well, she was actually scheduled to appear in LA for a press conference 6 days before the election, but canceled because she had received threats.
Yeah, she received death threats from members of Donald Trump's.
Exactly. And then the suit was dropped by November 4th. Of 2016, and Trump has denied
all allegations. I don't blame her. It's fucking scary.
I don't blame her either. Sarah Ransom is one of those that comes up a lot when you read these. She had a civil suit against Epstein and Maxwell. There's Bradley Edwards defamation versus Epstein, which is a Florida lawsuit in December of 2018, which would have been the first opportunity to provide the victims to make their accusations public. But this case was unfortunately settled the first day of trial with Epstein apologizing to Edwards. He apologized to the man. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Maria Farmer versus Epstein and Maxwell. Farmer went public and filed a sworn affidavit in federal court in New York. She says that she and her 15-year-old sister Anne had been sexually assaulted by Maxwell and Epstein in separate locations in 1996. These two girls met Epstein and Maxwell at a art gallery in New York, and then they had like hired her to do some art project for them, and that's like what lured them in. And she actually did report the incident to the NYPD and FBI right away, and it really didn't go anywhere. And then we talked about Jennifer Arouse. So Epstein was in jail and awaiting trial when he was served this petition from Arouse, and it was regarding a pending civil lawsuit filed by her. And Arouse stated that Epstein raped her in his New York City apartment when she was 15. And of course, there are so many more victims. These are just some of the civil cases that came out.
I think I saw something like 3 dozen.
Oh, it's crazy.
Number is at.
Yeah, they're saying it's like close to 80, close to 100. It's insane. One woman said that he had arranged for her to marry another woman to give her permanent U.S. residence. It is said that he continued to have sexual relations with underage girls during his, quote, work release during his time in prison in 2008. His victims have also named 7 businesses and foundations who may have assisted Epstein. This woman, Caitlin Doe, says that he blackmailed her when she was 17 to have sex with him by promising to pay for an expensive surgery she needed, then threatening to make sure she wouldn't get the surgery if she refused. And as of August 14th, 2019, adult survivors will have 1 year to sue for offenses in New York, no matter how long ago it took place.
Well, I really wonder, I mean, sue the city or sue what? Because now Epstein's dead. I mean, you know, it's
this
really
would have been after he died in what, August 10th, August 11th, something like that. This was after, so I think it might be. Couldn't they still like sue his estate?
I suppose. I don't know who got his estate. I'd be interested to see what
it just says. Sue. Well, he did. Re-sign his will. He made adjustments to his will 2 days before he died.
To give his things to who?
A lot of it was, like, to his attorneys. His attorneys were witnesses to it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't really know, but it just...
Good
all
for
I
you.
Read is
Glad
that
you got
have...
that big payoff for being pieces of shit who would represent fucking
exactly.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Exactly.
He was arrested on July 6th, 2019 on charges of child sex trafficking and conspiracy to commit sex trafficking. And prosecutors accused him in a grand jury indictment of paying dozens of girls as young as 14 to engage in sex acts with him at his New York and Florida properties from 2002 to 2005, which, as we know, it's probably far longer than 3 years, 2002 to 2005. It definitely happened before 2002, and it almost certainly happened well after.
Well, yeah, it happened a lot while he was in prison. Should we name what was found in their search that they did of his house?
Please.
Okay, so about a dozen FBI agents forced open the door of his Manhattan townhouse with search warrants, and they found evidence of sex trafficking and hundreds, perhaps thousands, of photos of fully or partially nude girls, many of them underage, if not all of them. I would say all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell because my guess, and this is, again, gross, is that it was probably less to do with their actual age and more to do with the way that they appeared. They
looked, yeah.
So it's difficult probably to tell how many of those girls are actually underage.
You have to, like, identify them.
Yeah, you'll have to identify them and identify when the photos were actually taken.
Definitely still very young.
Very young. Yeah. And so at that time, Epstein did plead not guilty. And we have talked, you know, basically, the rest of the story from here we have discussed in our previous episodes. We'll definitely touch on it.
Oh, I've got more.
Yeah, I mean, we'll touch on it for sure. But at that time, he pleaded not guilty. As we know, Donald Trump came forward saying, we had a falling out. I don't even really know what he was up to. Although, you know, there are tons of pictures and videos, which we'll post some of the pictures of them together. You know, there's tons of evidence that they were very close and they were friends.
Exactly.
And yeah, you want to...
Yeah, I've actually got more stuff in here about what they found in his house. There was this locked safe where compact discs with handwritten labels included descriptions like, quote, young, name plus name, miscellaneous nudes, and girl pics nude. In the safe were $70,000 in cash, 48 diamonds, and a fraudulent Australian passport, which expired in 1987 and included his photo,
I wonder
but another name.
What he could have used that for.
Well, let's just chat about it, right? So the passport has numerous entrance and exit stamps from France, Spain, the UK, and Saudi Arabia, all in the 80s. On the passport, it says his place of residence is Saudi Arabia. His attorneys say that he had this passport because of his Jewish faith, which would make him prone to kidnapping when traveling abroad.
What?
I'm just reading what I read. Miss Keeks?
I don't understand what that means. I need someone to explain that to me.
Right?
Because you know what? There's a lot of Jewish people who still fucking travel. Yeah. And they don't need fake passports.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Great.
I agree.
Cool.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the things surrounding his death.
Right. So as we said, I think last week, he had attempted suicide before in July, at the end of July. I think he had first attempted suicide. He was put on suicide watch. He was given a cellmate, all of that stuff. And then the day his cellmate was taken away, which was far too soon for him to have had his cellmate taken away, given typical procedures in most prisons, that is the day that he committed suicide, in quotes.
Question mark. So on August 11th, there was an autopsy that was performed. The preliminary result found multiple breaks in his neck bones, including the hyoid bone, which that's really hyoid
bone. Yeah, it's weirdly hard to say.
It's really hard to say, which is rarely associated with hangings, but is common in homicide by strangulation.
Right. I cannot remember because I didn't write it down. There is a certain percentage of hangings in which it happens.
There are, but
it can happen.
They're also saying that it's more common in older individuals, but the forensic pathologist Cyril Wetch said that hanging leaning forward would typically not result in broken cervical bones.
And also, like, the hyoid bone, I believe, also breaks if you fall from a great height more often than not, which would not have been the case with with Jeffrey Epstein. He did not fall from a great height.
Clearly, his victims were very, they had a lot of mixed emotions when he died. Virginia Roberts Giefer was grateful when Epstein died because it meant that he would no longer be able to hurt anyone else, but was angry that he would never answer for his actions.
Absolutely.
She said, "We've worked so hard to get here, and he stole that from us, too." Jennifer Arouse said, "We have to live with the scars of his actions for the rest of our lives. While he will never face the consequences for the crimes he committed, the pain and trauma he caused so many people." And one other thing that I just want to add to finish this off that I found very interesting. Okay, so this is really fascinating to me. So Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, died under mysterious circumstances in 1991 when he allegedly fell off his yacht. His naked body was found floating in the Atlantic days after he fell in, which I find fascinating because this is the father of the woman who was so in cahoots with Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, totally, like, conspiracy stuff where people have kind of, like, tried to dig up information.
Right.
I'm wondering if there was something between the father and Epstein, and that's kind of how she got involved. I don't know. It's very interesting. This is 1991.
I mean, likely. I think she's considerably younger than than Jeffrey Epstein. I think she's in her 40s and he was in his 60s.
I think this is probably like the dads would be more the same age.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think so as well. And he
fell off his yacht and his naked body was found like days later floating in the Atlantic.
And if he has a relationship with the father, why is he hanging around with the daughter? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like there probably is some kind of, like, weird connection there.
Yeah, it was just something, like, that I read that stood out to me that I thought was really bizarre that the, you know, conspiracy theorist in me loves to hear.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Fascinating. So, Nicole, who wrote us, asking us to do this episode, I don't know if this makes things any clearer for you.
I don't know. It helped me.
Because I know that you were... Nicole, you were concerned about, like, how biased a lot of the reports were and not knowing who to believe. And I think really what it comes down to is it's not about who you believe. It's about, like, taking in the facts and realizing this is not a partisan issue.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, I've oftentimes thought, of course, there are people on the right, we talk about it all the time, we don't agree on, like, a lot of, like, core issues. However, if people could just take a step back and realize that everyone who is not a one percenter, everybody who is not a millionaire or a billionaire has more in common with each other.
Yeah.
Like, outside of where you're from or race or anything else, yes, white privilege exists in every facet of every class. That's true. And, you know, people of color are always going to have a different experience. Women are going to have a different experience from men. But we all have more in common with each other than we do with people who are wildly, insanely rich, who do this wild shit. And so it's not an us versus them thing. It's not a left versus right thing. It's
we have a common enemy. And that's the thing, is I feel like a lot of this, like, bias that's coming out in the media right now is because people want to make it a partisan issue by placing blame on one of the parties and saying, oh, well, you had, you know,
this person did this with Epstein.
There was Clinton, there was Trump, and there was this, and they're trying to say whose side was more involved. Right. That's kind of how I feel. That's,
you know what? It's not about sides. It's about, you know what, all those people, and you know what all those people have in common? Lots of money, and no fucking responsibility for their actions. Like, it's lots of money and lots of fucking entitlement.
Yeah, so I think looking at this in a non-biased, non-partisan way, where you can take in, this is one of those instances where you can take in both sides of the story and kind of make your own conclusions, because a lot of what they're saying is true. A lot of the people that are involved, you know, are to blame. It's not about saying Bill Clinton is innocent. It's not about saying Donald Trump is innocent. Take both sides, hear all the stories, listen to the victims, learn their names, learn their stories, focus on that part of it, and then let all of that other bias and media craziness just roll off your back. Make your own decisions and do what you can.
The rest of it doesn't matter. Yeah. And here's where we should all stand. And, you know, I almost made, like, a status about this, but I decided not to. But I was just like, I don't understand why there's this. The Clintons killed Epstein. The Trump killed Epstein. Like, why are we making this a partisan issue when we should all just come together and say, you know what, fuck all these people.
Yeah.
Because you know what they were doing? They were taking advantage of your daughters. They were taking advantage of young people from middle to lower class backgrounds. Yeah. That's what they were doing. And so, you know what? If we're going to start fucking rallying against anybody, let's rally against all these old school motherfuckers who were able to get away with all of this shit for so long.
And it could, like, have been, if we're talking the conspiracy of his death, it could have been any of these motherfuckers. I mean, and it could have been, I mean, the FBI and the NYPD, everybody, they let him slide for so long.
I mean, to be honest, like, yeah, I mean, our minds go to, it has to be one of these powerful people who he could have implicated. And yes, I think that that makes perfect sense. I do also think that it does make sense that, like, the handling and there's actually documented evidence of the way that the people involved handled these cases.
Well, yes. And, like, the prison system, too.
Yeah, the prison system, the law enforcement, everyone handled these cases so poorly that there are a million people with a million motives who could have wanted him fucking dead. And you know what? I don't think it was suicide, just because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, like, I feel like there it was more than that. But even if he did commit suicide, that makes sense, too.
Yeah.
There's enough fucking shame in this story. You know, And as we were talking about it, like, I don't think we mentioned, or I did mention very briefly that Acosta, the labor secretary, did step down under, like, intense scrutiny from from this case, from the way he handled this whenever he was the attorney general of Florida.
Yeah.
You know, he handled this case so badly that he actually stepped down from his labor secretary position.
Yeah.
This has impacted and touched the lives of so many fucking people.
All over the country.
That it could be anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it honestly could be anyone. And I don't feel the need to... you know how much I hate fucking Trump, and I don't feel the need to point at Trump and say it was he your people. Because it could have been fucking anyone.
Yeah.
I think you benefited from it. I think
everybody that was involved benefited from
this. Oh, yeah, they fucking wiping greatly. Their brows. Whew, sigh of relief.
All I can hope is that a lot of these sealed documents become unsealed. I'm hoping that victims continue to speak up, name names. I'm hoping that this investigation, now more than ever, buckling down.
Fernando? Alfredo? What's his name?
Alfredo Rodriguez.
Alfredo, sir? Come on.
Come on.
Where's your journal at?
Where's your journal?
I want to see it.
I want to hear. I want to know more about.
Scan them pages.
I want to know more about Virginia Roberts Giefer's diary.
Yeah.
I want to know more about that. I want to know more from the victims about what they saw and really have a very, very thorough investigation. Because, yes, while his death is keeping it more difficult. Yeah. But I don't believe that it's keeping us from getting the enough information to at least have some answers.
I don't think it's keeping the information from existing. What I think will be the issue is the information getting released. Because I'm like, yeah, this is a man who took pictures, kept video cameras. He had all this shit. So I have no doubt that it exists.
Yeah.
What I want is for you motherfuckers to release it to the public.
I'm hoping that the FBI gets their hands on it because I feel
But you gotta trust the FBI enough to fucking actually tell the truth.
Yeah. I mean, the FBI in this story is the only party that has... in some way tried to bring down the, like, the state courts and things like that, like the local courts. So I'm hoping that it comes through a little bit.
If you take anything out of this, I guess for me, like, what I feel is, like, if you take anything out of this, take out of it that, like, wealth fucking corrupts.
Yeah.
It corrupts people in the most absolute of ways.
Well, and I feel like it's when there's wealth, there's power. And I feel like power once corrupts. You have power, there's this hungry... there's this appetite to have more and more and more, and once you get away with something for so long, there's more and more and more
people that are involved. Well, and to feel like you can do whatever you want.
It's a dynasty.
I guess that's what I say, what I meant to say is, like, wealth begets power.
Yeah.
And power corrupts absolutely. Like, it does. Like, and it starts, I think the combination of wealth and power starts making people look at people, other people, as commodities and objects. And I think that that is what these girls were, not only to Jeffrey Epstein, but also to all of the rich and powerful people involved in this story. They were commodities. They were objects. To our president, I think women are objects. They are possessions. And that's really where it comes down for me and, like, where it makes my, like, angry feminist heart so...
yeah.
So upset.
It's the reason for all of this.
Yeah, I mean, and so I think for that reason, thank you, Nicole, this was actually a very good topic for us to discuss because, you know, at the end of the day, it feels almost weird having an entire episode dedicated to, you know, Epstein because, like, fuck him, but also it's important because at the end of the day, it is the patriarchy in the worst, worst way. In the worst way.
Well, and I think it's important to highlight these people who have these, like, pedophile sex rings because it isn't just one guy. It isn't just Epstein. No. It's so many more, and it's happening all over the world.
And it's not just girls. There are boys who have been entangled into sex rings.
And this is happening in all countries, all places. It is secretive. There is a sex trafficking problem in the United States. There are sex trafficking problems everywhere. And nobody is safe from it. Nobody is safe from it. And that's the thing that, like... when we have stories like this that are in the spotlight of the media, I think it's important that they're talked about as much as possible so that there can be some sort of awareness and some sort of education that comes out of it for how we can protect ourselves, the warning signs to look out for, ways that we can be better prosecuting these people when they're caught. You know, we need these horrible things to learn sometimes.
It is hard, though, because I feel like these people are being targeted, these girls are being targeted because of their age and, like, because of who they are, because I don't think I was a stupid kid. I don't think I was a stupid kid, but, like, I look back on who I was at 14 and how easily I could have been manipulated. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
you're naive.
I was completely naive, yeah. And I don't even know how much of, like, this is what you look out for, these are the warning signs, could have prevented that, like, yeah. At 14, because...
But I think it's important for...
Absolutely.
Parents, absolutely. Aunts and uncles, teachers. I think it's important for the parties that are responsible for the children.
And any young girls who are listening, like, you know, I say that, but I also do want to emphasize, because I know we have young female listeners, and young listeners in general, as I said, there are also tons of proven sex trafficking rings that involve young boys and yeah. young men. Do be careful and yeah. be very fucking safe.
And we know you're not stupid, by the way.
No, it's not that you're stupid. It's not that you're stupid, but, like, I wasn't stupid at 14, and I could have fallen into this. Like, yeah. I know I could have.
I had a dreamer's brain. I was imaginative. I was...
And I saw the best in people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I always wanted to be seen as being desirable. And that's something we absolutely. Talk about a lot on the show.
And I would have believed a woman who came up to me and was just like, hey, do you want to learn how to do massage?
I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, and if I liked her and I thought she was cool and I wanted her to like me, like, I totally could have, like, seen myself getting into a position like that.
Yeah,
like,
most for definitely. Sure. Most for definitely. Sure. Oh, well, that was a fucking doozy. I hope Woo. You guys enjoyed it. I actually really enjoyed talking about
me
this.
Too.
The note-taking process was grueling for
yes.
me. It was a lot, and it was very intense, and it took over a lot of my brain this entire week, so I'm glad that that is done, especially working with a child. It was horrifying. If you have any thoughts on this episode, if you have any more episode suggestions like Nicole did, sister solidarity stories, just any sort of message you want to send to us, go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. That's where it's at. You can direct message us, follow us, comment, whatever. We have a Twitter. We are at YANF Podcast.
YANF
Podcast. We have a Facebook group and business page. Go ahead and rate and review us on our business page. We appreciate it a lot, and we appreciate it even more when you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, like I did for the first
yes.
time last week.
You keep calling yourself out.
Well, because this is coming out in the same week. I'm going to call myself out on it twice because everybody makes mistakes, Keegan. So if you haven't done it yet, do it like I did, you know?
Yeah, be like Madigan.
It's never too late. It's never too late, right? To support my own goddamn show. Also, if you'd like to listen to us on Radio Public, we really appreciate it. It's a free way for you to listen. It helps us out even just a little bit, and we love it. That is all that we have for today. With all that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.